Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is the Lombardi Line. I'm Dave Ross here at Circus Sports in fabulous downtown Las Vegas. He is Michael Lombardi, our GM here at VSiN back home in New Jersey. We're getting ready to kick off week number 14 of the NFL tonight. Great one, at least on paper here at Ford Field tonight between the Lions and the Packers. Packers, remember everybody, they're just two games back, if you can believe that, of the Lions, despite this great run that Detroit's been on with only one loss. They are 3.5-point favorites. It opened 5, so as the week has gone on, the Packers taking a little bit of the money. The total, Michael, was 51. It's up to 51.5. Are we going to get the expected points tonight here at Ford Field?
You know, there's part of me that says no because of the pace of the game, the slowness. I think this is an 8-9 possession game, right? Mm. I think that's one of the things. If you're Dan Campbell, you want to limit possessions. You don't want to get into a track meet. You want to control the pace of the game with your run game. Both teams really want to run the football. I mean, both teams are very good at it, too. Now, both teams are great at explosive plays, but this is the second – Green Bay's the second team in the National Football League in calling running plays. Detroit's the third, right? Detroit's the fourth best yards on the ground. They're the eighth best average per attempt. And this Detroit is 27th in passing attempts and Green Bay's 30th in passing attempts. So both teams are set up to run the ball, right? And it's interesting. Green Bay's the number two team in yards per attempt down the field. When they throw it, they make sure they make plays. And Detroit is the third best team in yards per attempt, and they make plays throwing it. So it's really kind of interesting how both teams are kind of similar in the style of play. The difference in this game has been that, you know, you can throw the ball on Detroit. Now, mm-hmm. Detroit's 25th in yards allowed passing, but that's a little misleading because why? Because what happens is they get ahead of people, and those yards really don't matter to them. They're junk yards. So the one thing I think is both teams want to run the ball. Both teams are committed to running the ball, and both teams are good at stopping the run. And I think, to me, that lends itself more towards the under. I know it looks easy because we all see these explosive plays. We see Amon St. Brown. We see Christian Watson. We see Reed make these explosive plays. Yes, we do. But we also don't see that Jacobs and Montgomery are going to run the ball and they're going to eat clock and it's going to take some time away from the game. And both these teams, you cannot run away from the stats. Both these teams are run teams.
You know, that's the amazing thing. And you hit it on the head when you alluded to the fact that maybe Detroit is the team that wants to limit possessions. I think we still think of Detroit 2 years ago when they were so and they are explosive, as you mentioned. But you thought of them as pass first, right? And everything's down the field. It's Jared Goff, and he's going to make mistakes. They're not doing that, right? They kind of protected Goff, and that's why his completion percentage is so high with this two-headed monster at running back. Does that also play into protecting the defense, which can be vulnerable now with all their injuries?
Yeah, I think they have to, right? I think Campbell's smart enough to know I got to play three developments. I don't want this to become a track meet because what happens? I get tired. You know, all these injuries that they have defensively, they're not one player other than Hutchinson that really affects them that they can't replace for a game. But the problem is you lose your depth. When you have 17 guys on injured reserve like Detroit does, you lose your depth. It's just a war of attrition. And I think that you see that here. The other thing is, look, when they lost to Tampa Bay and they scored 16 points, you know, they threw the ball 53 times in that game. And they basically, after that game, said, we're not doing that again. That's it. We're done. You know, we're done. I mean, Jared Goff can't throw it 53 times. That's not who we are. We're going back to what we do. We're going to go back to running the football. We're going to control this clock, and we're going to beat you up. And we're going to be like the boxer who puts you up against the ropes, and by the eighth and ninth round, you're falling down. The other thing, I think, too, that lends itself to playing the under, and I know everybody loves the over here, is – Both these teams are good red zone defense. Both these teams are good red zone offense. But Detroit's the second best red zone team in the league. You can't run the ball in on the end zone on them. So I think you have to look at that. I think that's also the case, too. When you're playing these unders, right, you want to make damn sure that you know that the team that you're playing against, right, can handle that. And I think that's really important. I think you have to look and see, can they play the running game? Can they handle that going in?
I think that's the biggest misconception of these teams, certainly the Detroit side, is it's all offense. It's air it out, max possessions. They're kind of old school, man. They like to beat you up. They want to run the football, protect right. that defense. That's the way it's really worked, to your point, Michael.
I want to get and I think this too. Detroit's the second best team in the National Football League inside the red zone rushing the football.
They're going to run.
That's a critical stat.
Yep, they're going to run it down your throat.
And what's the best way to score touchdowns? Ground transportation.
Yeah.
It's still the best. FedEx delivery on the ground, right? And so that's where they're really good. And then defensively, they're really good at stopping you. They're the fifth best team in the league in stopping you in those areas. So that's where you gain an advantage. Minnesota, you know, we talk about they're lucky, right? You can't run the ball in Minnesota when you get to the red zone. They're the number one red zone defense rushing in the league. That says something. That's important. Now, they can't run it when they get down there. They're 25th. But those are the kind of things you have to take a look at.
Detroit can run it. There's no doubt about that with Gibbs and Montgomery. So great points tonight as to maybe why you want to look to that under here at 51.5. Very quickly, I want to get to what's on your mind today, and I think it might involve a message that Urban Meyer, people might have forgot, he was the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars at one time. Michael, he's got a recommendation out there that I want you to hear, and then get your thoughts as to what's on your mind.
All right, Mr. Shad, you invest a lot into this franchise, and now it's time to make right decision to get a return. The kid you've got down there is a gunslinger. Build it around him. Don't go for the old guard. Go for the young and fresh. Hire Ben, not Bill. Get him a manager like Ray or Ian, and bring in experienced vets like Tony or Fred to offer sound advice and help shape the culture. If you don't take my word for it, listen to our supporters. Heck, even Pete or McAfee and a secretary with a mullet would agree. All right, Mr. Shad, all the best.
There's not even an opening in Jacksonville yet. How would you like to be Doug Peterson and sitting there and you got this advertisement by a guy who's on national television on Saturday covering? And then let's also factor in the fact that he was a complete disaster in pro football. I mean, if this doesn't tell you, put me in the spotlight. I mean, look, everybody's entitled to an opinion. I'm entitled to mine. He's entitled to his. But it's time and place. It's one thing to talk about Doug being fired. It's one thing to talk about Doug not doing a good job. All those things we talk about on the show here. But it's another thing to start soliciting a promotional advertisement for Ben. I'm sure Ben Johnson doesn't want him endorsing him.
No.
I'm sure of that. You know, I mean, like, that's not that that he's a coach. You know, one thing, there's an ode of coaches. You know, one thing, I always said this about coaches. They're like doctors. They never criticize another doctor, right? It's rare to see a coach publicly criticize another coach. They're very calculated, you know, because we all know that we're in that situation. We could mess it up ourselves. But to me, why are we putting out this video now? Especially considering that you hurt the franchise.
That's the part.
You destroyed it. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know what? You know, one of the things I think that Brad Stevens did a great job in building the Celtics is he put people around his team, he said, that are self-aware. This is a lack of self-awareness, isn't it, David?
Oh, my God. You know, it's exactly what it is. This, if it was an interim gig and he's lobbying for a guy with the Saints because there's a job open, you worked there. You were part of, you're talking about the culture. Your culture was so bad.
You had no culture.
You had zero culture. They ran you out of Jacksonville. And you're telling the guy that fired you? Oh, my goodness, what a disconnect that is, Michael.
I mean, it's just so, it's so ego-driven. It's so ego-driven. Like, who wants your opinion on Jacksonville? You had an opportunity. You got a golden, you were given the greatest gig of all. The owner turned the keys to the store over to you, and by week 14, you had to go. You know, you had everybody mad at you. You had the bill. You didn't know what you were doing.
Whew.
And so, like, I'm surprised he went back to television. You know, and I know he's won college football games and all that, and he thinks he belongs. But to take a shot at the guy who's won 6 Super Bowls?
Oh, boy.
You know?
I just don't get it.
Are you doing? I mean, the guy won 6 Super Bowls. Have you won any Super Bowls in your career? Come on.
You know, it's, what do the kids say, Michael? Like, it's your old employer, and the guy still has a job, as you mentioned. The kids say, just sit this one out, or you probably should have just sat that one out. You didn't need to put that out there for everybody to see. But we saw it, and that's why it's on your mind today. I got to get to our game of the week. It's a good one between the Chargers and the Chiefs.
This is the Lombardi Line Game of the Week, presented by Lowe's. Here's Michael Lombardi.
You know, Michael, you look at this number, Chiefs favored by 4, low total of 43 here. That low total is because these defenses have been really good. I know you're not surprised. Maybe America's surprised that Jim Harbaugh comes in there year one, and it looks like Michigan, at least defensively, like it's going to be tough to score on those guys. Who has the edge defensively? Because we look at Spags with the Chiefs, and I think we inherently go to him, and maybe we should, as they've won back-to-back Super Bowls. Is it that easy, or is this really close defensively in your eyes?
Well, I think it is close defensively. I think the Chargers, we saw the vulnerability against the passing game when we saw Baltimore throw it. Now, we know this about the Kansas City Chiefs. They are really good. They're the best third down team in football. That's what's saving them right now. Their ability to win third downs, their ability to control the football, put drives together. Look, this Charger team, we talk about being able to run the ball when you get down to the red zone. This Charger team, you can't. They're the number two team in the National Football League in preventing runs from scoring. Kansas City's 10th in that category. So they're really good. The Chargers are great red zone defense. I do think it's a low scoring game, but I just don't think the Chargers have enough skill to really challenge Kansas City the way they need to. Look, they'll play hard. They'll play tough. They put a lot of pressure. The Chiefs' offensive line, Andy Reid knows it's a problem. It'll be interesting if they start DJ Humphries at left tackle this week, because last week they had to put Joe Tooney out there. It got so bad, Mahomes was going crazy. He just can't take it anymore. They have no protection at left tackle. And the right tackle, let's face it, the right tackle, Taylor, you could call him for lining up in the backfield on every single play. They only do it about 3 times a game, but you could do it every play.
It was a point of emphasis because of the Chiefs, and they're still doing it, which is pretty amazing.
They still get away with it.
They do. Mike Palm joins us in studio next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue the Thursday edition here of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross, Michael Lombardi here with you. And things just got a little bit spicier in the studio, Michael, because Mike Palm is joining us now. Of course, does a great job as the VP of operations here at Circa in Las Vegas. You can follow Mike as I do on X at Mike Palm Circa. And Mike, I missed you in Thanksgiving week. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
Well, I hope you did. I saw your mom left you a note, so it started off well when you got back.
And that's what Mike and I talked about. I mean, there's nothing like that, guys. You get home. Mom and Dad are already asleep when I get home late. Yeah. And a bottle of red wine and some food in the fridge. It was fantastic. And I did watch all the Cowboy game on it's a ritual in the house. You gotta watch.
It was almost unwatchable. right? I mean, that was a tough watch, but... it was okay. It was an okay result for the book here. I mean, it probably was the best coached game of that 4-game window that we have here in Survivor, right? I mean, you can talk about Eberflus and the just unconscionable failing to get organized and use the timeout. Once you saw that Caleb was going to audible for 12 seconds, Antonio Pierce and the Raiders, they just need a field goal to win the game. They're not even a spot where a field goal ties the game, and they can't get it together at the end. Although I disagree that play wasn't blown dead by the officials. If you look at it, and you can tell me all you want that's the rule, because it's a dead ball, that's a shift, and it's not a false start.
I see an official coming in.
They're blowing their whistle. How can you now say, oh, there was a recovery, when immediately upon the snap, they're blowing their whistle, sprinting in from the side? Doesn't that kill the play, even if it's the official's mistake? And then I'm going to tell you this. Thursday night was the worst coach game. I'm telling you that this guy in Miami, Michael, did a worse job than Eberflus.
The
DJ. The DJ on with his capris or whatever he's wearing up there in the middle of Green Bay in the winter. I mean, they weren't ready to play at the beginning of the game.
Oh, no.
Not at all. And then you're down 27-11 with 10 minutes to go in the game. You're still a 2-score game, and you've got third and goal at the 1. The Packers are like 28th in run stuff rate on defense. What does he do? He calls two pass plays. I mean, that's more malpractice than Eberflus, who actually kept his team in the game and got him back having a one bad play. I mean, this guy was horrible the whole game.
Mike, he gets away with it. I mean, for some reason, it's a little bit like, you know, it's a little bit like Brendan Staley. I mean, Brendan Staley, you know, we had people on our network talking about him being one of the best coaches in the league. I mean, this same thing with McDaniels. I mean, he's 5-12 over the last seven games of the season for the last 3 years. He's well below 500, but no one seems to bother him. No one's worried about it because it seems like he's quirky, he's different, you know, and he's great to talk to coming out of halftime. Who cares? How about winning the game?
I read a stat that the Dolphins are 1-10 in their last 11 games against teams with a winning record.
Yeah. Oh, he can't beat a good team. No, but this is the time to load up on him, though, Mike. Yes. This is when you load up on him now.
Jets coming
in. Load up on him now because, you know, now that number, we're seeing it again. I don't know, understand it. I can't explain it. Maybe you can, but all these people that are betting the Jets now every week, that number was at 7. It's down to 6. When we know, I mean, A, he has beaten up on the Patriots and the Jets in the East. That's how he's kept his job.
You know, this is every week with the Jets.
Yeah.
Since week one,
just keep going.
They've taken the money every week. How would you like to have had him land? And I'm lucky because I took Seattle at 1.5 in a 3-team parlay. And stopped watching the game.
Because it's over, 14-0.
It's 17, it's 21-7, and they have first and goal. I mean, how can you watch the game? I said, it's another game Seattle needs to go on the road and win, and they're completely out of it. And he throws the pick 6, but then they never got another point.
No, they didn't score
again. They never scored the rest of the game. They had 3 touchdowns that were going in for a 4th early in the second, and you never scored another point the rest of the game.
But people are still going to back the Jets this weekend. It is down to 6. The Survivor is fascinating, okay? Yes. And I wonder if Miami, who's got what left.
I have it here. Oh. And I wanted to throw out. So we didn't lose any people last week.
It's
we
amazing.
Lost 2 entries because – there were 4 people with 2 entries. 2 of them split their entries and used Cincinnati as one of them. Actually, 3 of the 4 split. 1 shoved all in with Tampa and got through. Now, I would throw out these teams, and I'll tell you how many of the 50 entries have them available. All right. The Vikings at home to the Falcons, Michael. They had 27 of the 50 available. The Bucks at home to the Raiders, 30 available. I'm going to leave the Steelers out because I think you've got to try to keep them for as many teams as you can for Christmas.
Sure.
The Eagles, 14 still have the Eagles hosting the Panthers. 8 have the Dolphins hosting the Jets. 17 have the Bills on the road at SoFi.
Ooh.
14 have the 49ers at home to the Bears. And would you dare use the Bengals on Monday night at Jerry World? 32 of the 50 still have the Bengals, Michael.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, boy, that one, I think isn't this the time to use? If you have Philly, you got to use Philly, don't
yes.
you?
Yes, you got to use that ace in the hole.
But that's 14, so the right. So there's still 36 out there.
Oh, boy.
Would you consider the Vikings, Michael?
I think that's a hard game. I mean, look, when you play the Vikings, I can only imagine the book last week, and I tweeted about it. I mean, all those people that had Tampa in Survivor, all those that was the improbable win when they get the fumble with Chuba Hubbard. I mean, they basically knew their ticket was going to go away, and all of a sudden it comes back to life. You know, that comeback there, I was like, you're holding your breath on that game all the way through. That was one of those where you're like, and I think to me, if you play Minnesota, like last week against Arizona, because even though Minnesota went up by a point, Arizona had a chance to come back and kick a field goal to win the game, and he turned it over. So that was another one you're holding your breath on. You just feel like you're going to lose. I would stay away. I think Atlanta will play their best game of the year. They played their best defensive game of the year last week against the Chargers, still lost. But when you throw 4 picks like he did, I think you'll play better this week.
By the way, the Bengals are 5.5-point favorites in Jerry World Monday night. Cowboys, look, kidding
I'm
about that.
I'm still alive now.
You guys can take the Bengals.
There's a pulse with the Cowboys now. See, McCarthy's coaching for a long-term extension, right?
They love Mike all of a sudden. They're all into Big Mike all of a sudden. I think it's dangerous,
though,
Michael.
You guys can take the
I think it's dangerous to play the Bengals.
I can't take a ticket worth millions of dollars and put it on Zach Taylor. I'm sorry. I just can't do that.
Forget Zach Taylor. I want you to come out and say this Lou Anarumo has to go.
Oh.
I don't want to hear any more about Lou Anarumo.
See, here's why I can't say that, Mike, because it's not Lou's fault. because the team is so soft, you can't coach, no matter who they put in a defense, can't coach that team. You know, because they don't practice. There's no attention to there's nothing. They're worried about the players. They've taken this Ram approach that the Eagles took last year too, which is we're going to use the tracker to determine how much a player should practice. And so they have no conditioning, and it didn't work at the Rams. And Philadelphia get changed it, but Cincinnati with Zach Taylor is still doing it. And so I really think to me, it's not Lou's fault. It's Lou's obviously paying a price for it. But to me, it's all Zach Taylor. I don't think whoever the defense coordinator is in Cincinnati, I think will struggle.
I think if you see a lot of entries on the Bengals this weekend.
No, I think there'll be a couple.
You do?
I think there'll be a couple contrarians. But remember, everybody's down to one pick except two people.
Right.
So, can you use them if you're one of the people, too, that have two entries? Do you split it? Okay, Michael, so you don't have the Eagles left. Are you going to use the Buccaneers or the Dolphins this week?
I'm using the Dolphins.
Okay.
I worry about the Bucs. I mean, Baker's ankle was in a boot last week. Mm-hmm. Mike Evans didn't practice yesterday. I'm worried about that. You know, I'm kind of worried about that one. So, because the Raiders, let's face it, if they could get out of their own way, they are playing better.
Well, they outgained Kansas City by over 100 yards in the second half of that game.
They should have won the game.
And they ran the ball for the first time all year.
They should have won the game.
You're right. And I'm with you. It looked like a false start. I don't know how the rule book gets it.
The rule is that on a dead ball, if the offense moves, it's a shift. But if the officials blow the whistle, it's still they blew the whistle.
Right. So that should trump everything.
The play's done.
That's
right? And it's 5 yards, and now the Raiders got to figure it out with 15 seconds left from the 38.
It is, boy, what's the implied entry value now if you're
almost 275.
When do we start talking about a chop?
No, I think when you get down under 20. When it gets to be around 750,000 a pop. That's when I think, although, you know, you go on the Survivor Sweat website, people are selling portions of their tickets. One of my friends is still in, although he's in bad shape on Christmas. He's been offered $130,000 for 99% of his ticket, or $115,000 for 90. He's trying to push to get $150,000 for 95. So the negotiation goes back and forth. But that's a very clean way to monetize your ticket, right? Instead of trying to get all this money together, although we give out the credit to hedge and all this. Still too early to hedge, I think.
Man, absolutely fascinating. But we are down to 52.
We're down to 50 people, 52 entries.
52 entries, 50 people. So yes. Didn't lose any people, but lost a couple entries last week.
Yep. Instead of having four with two entries, we have two with two entries now.
Fascinating. All right, gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. But Michael Lombardi, I know you are prepared because when we come back, are you prepared?
Nobody can be prepared for this onslaught.
It's palms pressing three. I'm always curious to see what you've dialed up this week. You're like a coordinator. You've got different things out there.
Yeah, I have alternate questions if
if Michael answers them.
Michael
quickly.
Goes full Zach Cohen on us.
All right, America, don't go anywhere. We're back with palms pressing three next year on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kicking off week 14 of the NFL season tonight, Detroit hosting Green Bay. Again, that number 3.5, 51.5. We'll get to that as well before we say goodbye in this edition of the Lombardi Line. But it is now time for Palms Pressing 3.
Pressing? Yes, I say it's pressing.
This is Palms Pressing 3.
Now, my mother told me never to answer a question with a question.
Sir, my client has answered every question asked by this committee with the utmost sincerity.
All right, Michael, those who have been students of yours for better than the past half decade here at Visa know that you have been very adamant that by Thanksgiving, good teams know that they are good and bad teams know that they are bad. At the same time, you have also warned us of the concept of these teams that you call frauds, teams whose records are better than their actual quality. Let's just say, for an example, this year, maybe the Falcons you've mentioned as frauds. So my question to you is, if the good teams know they're good and the bad teams know they're bad, do the frauds know that they are frauds? And if so, what is the mood and the mindset of the players, coaches, and front office in the organization that is a self-knowing fraud?
Well, I think there's a positivity that comes with it. You want to keep your players up on the bit, hoping that you get the right draw when it comes time for playoff times. But you know, if you're really smart and you understand teams, you know there's an obstacle that stands in your way that you can't overcome. And let's take the Houston Texans, for example, right? Mm-hmm. They know that they are going to make the playoffs because of the Colts' incompetence and because the Colts are really not a good team either. So they know they're going to win the South, but they also know that their road to the Super Bowl is probably going to be very limited because of the fact they can't protect in the offensive line. C.J. Stroud isn't really playing as well, and they've got to hope that the kicker and the running game can get them through and who the draw is in the first. They'll probably be the fourth seed in the AFC, and that means they're going to have to play a really good team. Probably Baltimore is the fifth seed in the North. Whoever doesn't win the North is going to be the fifth seed, probably, my suspicion would be. And that will be a hard game for them, even though it'll be played at home. So there's positivity within the organization, but I think deep in the coaching room, there's reality that sets in.
I'll tell you this. You're saying good teams know they're good, bad teams know they're bad. I'll tell you what's really good. Sewell's Barbecue. From a backyard cookout, you got a mason jar of unforgettable flavor. Sewell's has become a Southern favorite, lighting up taste buds from Georgia to the Carolinas. From ribs, wings, backyard burger, Sewell's takes every bite to the next level. You can order online at sewellsbarbecuesauce.com. That's S-E-W-E-L-L-S, barbecuesauce.com.
I think Bill 80 can up the sponsorship, getting an in-game read during the pressing three. All right, question.
Impressive. That was all star right there.
The king of the segues.
Dave Ross was just incredible right there. Yeah.
Thank you.
Question two, Michael. I want to revisit a game that you mentioned in the first segment, Cardinals at Vikings last Sunday. The Vikings kicked a field goal with just over 11 minutes left to cut the lead to 19-16. The Cardinals then matriculated the ball down the field and found themselves facing fourth and goal from the Viking 4 with 3:23 to go. Jonathan Gannon decided to kick a field goal to go up by 6. The Vikings then marched the ball down the field and, as you said, scored with a little over a minute to go, eventually winning the game 23-22. I want to revisit Gannon's decision. And when you were watching it live at the moment, did you agree with it, Michael? Why or why not?
Well, I did agree with it because I think he's worried about his defense. You know, can he stop them? And if he goes for it and doesn't get it, I think he would have been worried about, can I keep them pinned up back there? The idea to go for it is you've got to think, if we don't get it, what's the result, right? If we don't get it, they're going to have the ball at the 4, and my defense should be able to stop him. But he knows his defense isn't elite. It's predictable. It's situational. And they play at times, but I think he going up 6, he's saying, now I got to keep him out of the end zone. And my red zone defense should be able to hold them out of there. And then, frankly, with all that being said, even though it didn't plan out, he gets the ball back with a minute, and all he needs is a field goal to win the game. And so it ended up working out perfectly for him, because now he only needs a field goal and Murray turns the ball over. He wasn't calculating that. But in that situation, when you have Kyler Murray, you've got Marvin Harrison, you've got McBride, you've got other guys, you feel like, okay, I get this ball down here. We're indoors. Ryland's been very good. He missed one earlier in the game, but we've got a chance to win this game on a walk-off. I think you take that. So the negatives are, if I get the ball back and I use my timeouts, even if they score, I should have a chance to win this game. And because I went for 3, and it puts me in a position where a field goal wins the game. If I don't and don't get it, right, all of a sudden now I'm out of the game completely.
I think that I'll take the opposite side here. Recently demoted Greg Olson did point this out on the telecast. It's like the difference of getting the ball first or second in overtime in college. When you make your lead 6, you now make the Vikings a 4-down team because they can't accept a field goal. If things played out the same way in that drive, remember the Vikings go 4th and 5
right
from the Cardinal 33 with just over 2 minutes to go. Let's say you had gone and missed and things had been the same. They're kicking the field goal in that spot to tie the game, and now Kyler would have the ball back tied instead of down 1. I also think they had the Vikings defense on their heels. Remember, they converted 2 third-and-longs and it just had 3rd and 16 and gained 12 yards to get to the 4. I thought at the time he needed to go for it and try to win the game with his offense, not his defense.
I see both sides of that, gentlemen. I love that conversation. But Michael, what your point is, the worst case scenario plays out, you still have a chance to win the game by getting by kicking that field goal.
You got a chance to win the game.
Right.
Look, I think I've never heard Olsen not say go for it. I mean, he wants to go for it in the first quarter. So, I mean, I completely dismiss everything he ever says about going for it. He's never not wanted to go for it. I mean, he's in tune with the, like, he wants that. I mean, he loves to go for it. But the downside is if you play it out, it played out really, Mike, you cannot deny it played out perfectly. The problem is Murray turned the ball over. I mean, they had plenty of time to get that field goal back in there. And if they get the, they get into field goal range and kicks the field goal, we're not having this conversation, but he turned it over.
It's,
and you could say, well, that's the problem. You go, no, the same thing could happen. You know, when you make it a four-down game, and I agree with that, it becomes a four-down game. But also that puts holding, you know, that if they have to be perfect, you can't have a sack. You can't have a holding call. Everything's got to go well for you. And I think ultimately it did in Minnesota's case, but – you know, I think it didn't go that way for the Cardinals.
Okay, question three. All right, Michael, you've had 13 weeks of data and what your eyes have told you. If you could draft one team from each conference to win the Super Bowl right now, who are you drafting?
I'm going to go Philadelphia and Buffalo.
Ooh, the two seeds.
Look, I don't love Buffalo. I the only reason I'm saying Philly here is because they're healthy. Detroit's just beat up right now. The injuries are mounting on Detroit. I love Detroit's team. I love their toughness. And they seem to want to overcome. I love everything about them. But this Philly team defensively is playing really well. Do you realize, Mike, the last five games, Philadelphia has rushed for more yards than they've thrown for? Think about that for a second. They have run for more yards than they have rushed for, than they have passed for. In a league where passing is paramount, right? That's what everybody will tell. Oh, you got to throw the ball. You got to throw the ball. Well, you do have to throw the ball. But I will say this. You know, you control the game. Now, if they lose, the Philly hasn't lost any of their guys. I mean, they've been able to hang in there. So I think to me, now Buffalo is always dangerous because of Josh Allen. And I don't love Buffalo's defense at all. I think Buffalo will have a hard game in Los Angeles because Sean McVay knows playing Buffalo is like playing $5 blackjack. You got to get 4 yard gains, 4 yard gains, 4 yard gains, move the ball. You can't have a negative play because when you have a negative play against Buffalo's defense, that's when they feast. But they'll allow you to run the ball, and they stop you when they get to the red zone. San Francisco, McCaffrey looked like he was back to the old Christian McCaffrey until he got hurt. They were running the football on him. Unfortunately, they got stopped in the red zone. So to me, I think Buffalo, because of Allen's play and their toughness, I think Buffalo has become a Western New York team. Before, they were a spread team, and they didn't have the same level of physicality that I see them have today.
All right, I'm going to give you a quick bonus question, Michael. We watched these epic meltdowns, Bears, Raiders, end-of-the-game situations. Why don't teams hire one person that's in the coach's ear helping them? Eberflus is worried about the third down play and the fourth down play, right? And he can lie all he wants every week about double down on all his decisions were good. But these coaches are coordinators on either side of the ball. And we can sit here every week and pick 10 things, clock management that was bad between college football and pro. Why don't they hire one person that has the ability in the coach's ear to say, you go for two, you don't go for two. You call a timeout here, you don't call. You kick deep, you kick on sides here, and make those decisions.
Mike, they do have somebody in the booth. That's the problem. But that person in the booth is usually some analytical guy who really doesn't understand situational football. You know, that's the problem. Go for it. They're just looking at numbers. They're just looking at the numbers. They're not really looking at the situation of the game, like how to play it, how to think forward, how to second order think. Everything is based on past performance. The data says we have to go for it. Well, is the data watching this game? Is the data watching the game? Everybody has a guy in their booth. Jim Harbaugh would tell you when he was in San Francisco, he had somebody. But then when the game's on the line, I don't know what, you know, they stumble.
That's why it's you got to have that coach that can marry the analytics and the game situations. And that's why it's Palms pressing three and a half today. Great extra question. Great having Mike Palm in studio, everybody. Come on back. We'll put a bow on this edition of the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are back on the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. And it is America's favorite part of the show, I believe, maybe after Palms Pressing 3. And I'm going to ask Michael Lombardi, is this news or noise?
New news.
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise.
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
Michael, I want you to hear from 15 from Chiefs Kingdom. That, of course, is Patrick Mahomes. It's a very interesting perspective, I think, that he has on maybe how they've won a lot this year and how that can keep you sharp. I want you to, of course, tell me, is what you hear from Patrick Mahomes news or noise?
I think it keeps you motivated, which I think can be a good thing in the end. I think sometimes I look back on the year we lost in the Super Bowl, and we were very dominant throughout the regular season, and it's just kind of like you get in this point where you start coasting because you're winning games, you're just kind of doing the normal thing. Whereas if you look at us last year, even though it didn't go the way we wanted to, it felt like we just continued to work every single week, and we knew we had to get better, and we didn't let the details slip, and we ended up playing our best football at the end of the year. And so that's the hope, is that with all these close finishes, we're getting wins, but it's keeping us hungry so that we can try to continue to get better as the season goes on.
I think the one thing they do a great job, David, is they understand who they are, and they're not trying to play a game that they're not. Look, they have the ability to win third down, which is incredible. So they can control the football. They know they're good on defense. They're not the same team defensively this year. They lost Snead, which now means McDuffie goes from being the slot corner to the outside corner. They've actually gotten worse in two spots because McDuffie was a great inside corner.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not the same player on the outside. And they're not. And we saw the Raiders run the football. But look, the thing is they know how to close games out. They're really good. They've got experience, and they've got the quarterback who, as we saw in Carolina, when he has to make a play with his feet, he takes off and runs for 53 yards. You know, they're a hard team to defend, and you got to play pitcher perfect for 60 minutes to beat them. And look, let's face it, they should have three losses. I mean, two field goals are getting attempted. The Raiders should have kicked the field goal to win the game with Carlson, and the Chiefs and the Broncos should have been able to make the field goal mm-hmm. against them to win the game, and they've won both those games. So eventually that catches up to you, right? I mean, I would not say the Raiders or the Broncos are the elite of the elite in the NFL, and they've had a ability to beat them, and because they played a certain way and they've done a good job. So they're going to have to get better. Can they? I think that, you know, when you don't have a left tackle and you don't have a right tackle that's great and you don't have great speed, I think Pacheco back certainly helps them, gives them more power. But they're vulnerable. They really are vulnerable. And I think if they have to play Buffalo or if they have to play Baltimore again, I think they're going to be vulnerable in those games. They'll be in it in the fourth quarter. There's no question. But there's a chance that they could lose it because that tick goes one way or the other.
In week one, Isaiah Likely, that big toe, if that big toe stays in bound, they could have a fourth loss to your point. So very, very close games indeed. This has been a fascinating conversation all week. We've been talking about it here with the college football playoff, the new system. They've expanded to 12. We'll see how it shakes out. But we know that Ole Miss is not going to be in it. And Lane Kiffin, the head coach, said this, Michael, and I want you to tell me if this is news or noise. We might as well be playing in different leagues. Here's the NFL. Here's the SEC. Here's those few Big Ten teams, and here's everybody else. You see it in the NFL draft. It'll be different, like it always is in the SEC. The amount of kids drafted out here, it's a bad system, talking about the college football playoff selection process. He went on a bunch of different tangents there, Michael, but is that overlying theme news or noise?
I think it's excuse-making, because look, Lane, just beat Florida. Just beat Florida, and you're in this conversation, right? Just beat a bad Florida team, and you're in it, right? So, like, beat Kentucky. How about beat Kentucky? You lost to two of the bottom half of the Southeast Conference teams, and all of a sudden you're preaching? Mm. I mean, why would we make this news? Like, stop preaching. Win those games. You win those two games, we're not even having a conversation. We're not even having a conversation. And yet you turned the ball over twice in the fourth quarter against Florida. You couldn't finish off Kentucky when you had a chance. At home, no less. At home. And you lose to Kentucky. So, like, what are we talking about? You stubbed your own toe. It wasn't you that lost to Georgia and then you lost to Alabama. Okay, get that. You lost to Kentucky and Florida, and you're complaining?
Well said. Christian McCaffrey took to social media, and I read the post on Instagram, and it's very long, but it's very thought out. And in it, he said, and I quote, "You can do everything right and still fail. That's life, and that's football. This wasn't my year, and sometimes when it rains, it pours. You can feel sorry for yourself and listen to the birds, or you can hold the line." And then Kyle Shanahan came out and said, "If the Niners make the playoffs, Christian McCaffrey might be able to play this season." Michael, all of that,
Is that news or noise?
Well, I think, you know, if they can make the playoffs, it would be a miracle, and it'd be one of the best coaching jobs for Kyle Shanahan because they're such undermanned. I mean, let's just take a moment for all the injuries that they've had and then the personal tragedies.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had two players who lost little babies. Mm. I mean, that, you know, people don't understand. Players are, you know, affected by their home life, whether they're going through a divorce or whether they're going through this tragedy that no one should experience, the death of a child, right? Mm. And so that's really hard on them. And they're just not the same team. And then add the fact that Nick Bosa isn't there. It's really challenging for them. And they're not able to use this defensive scheme that they've operated with to the best of their ability because they don't have a defensive front that can win the game. So I just think it's really challenging.
I agree. Our hearts go out to Trent Williams and his family, as you alluded to there. Just devastating tragedy. I can't even imagine going through what they're going through there. We were having a lot of fun with Mike Palm in the last segment, and we were talking about Thanksgiving Day games. And, you know, for all the guff that the Cowboys and the Giants had for being there, how about this, Michael? 38.5 million people. That was the drawing here for the, it was the top rated NFL game on Thanksgiving Day. Is it just Thanksgiving or is it the Cowboys? Is that news or noise?
Well, I think it's news because everybody expected no one to watch it. They thought they thought that number would be one, you. They thought that number, instead of being 38.5, it would have just been the Ross family over in Virginia Beach. But 38.5, I mean, it's news because no matter who they put on the game, everybody complains. I'm sure Will Hill was complaining completely. What is this game doing on here? And he makes the schedule. Like, you know, we're going to watch.
Yeah.
And let's factor betting into this, too. Because, you know, that's really enhanced this. It used to be if it was a bad game, nobody paid attention to it because not everybody was involved in it, whether it's Survivor, whether it's the weekly, you know, your mm-hmm. William Hill weekly picks production.
Yeah.
I mean, that has enticed everybody into this. So I think there's no question about that. I think it's completely news that we have such great ratings.
You know, Michael, it was funny, and I told you this before I went home for vacation. I had mentally checked out. I was like, you know, hey, if we don't want to watch the game this year, for the first time in my lifetime, I'm okay with it. Of course, we did exactly what we do. We built the dinner around the early game. Did not miss one second of that Cowboy-Giant game. It's just the way we are. By the way, if you are not a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, what are you waiting for? $9.99. It's going to get you coverage for the first 30 days. You can do so at VSiN.com/subscribe. So again, it's going to give you everything to help up your betting game. Really, everything's there for you. Betting splits from DraftKings and behind me here at Circa Sports. Trends and analysis. Seriously, if you're trying to take this seriously and win some money, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. Do so today at just $9.99 for the first 30 days. Let's get to our G-Bank best bet of the day, Michael. We do have week 14 kicking off tonight in Detroit. You gave some really, I thought, interesting thought patterns as to how the game could play out. And I know maybe we lean towards that over, looking for a shootout at 51.5, but I think you're looking at that saying you might get more running in this football game than people expect, correct?
Yeah, I think you have to expect it, right? Especially DJ Reader being out for Detroit. I mean, you know, Detroit's a hard team to run the ball on. They're physical, they're tough. But I think, to me, we saw them get worn down in the Chicago game. We think Carlton Davis will play in the secondary tonight, which they absolutely need. But I think that, you know, look, let's face it. Both these teams are in the top five in terms of calling run plays. And that's critical, right? I mean, that's critical. Their ability to want to, and look, we all know that the running doesn't score points. Running establishes you the control of the game. And I think that's what they'll be able to do. But when you break this down, I mean, it's very clear that, you know, Green Bay is the number one team in the league in terms of rush percentage in the first half. Detroit's number three. That lends itself to the over. Excuse me.
I know Detroit, you know, they were 5-point favorites. It's down to 3.5. If Green Bay wins this, Michael, I mean, we're going to talk tomorrow about chaos in the NFC at the hierarchy, right?
No question. And I'm telling you, if you think Philly could get home field, play it now because you're going to lose that number. It really is. And then if you like Philly and this week against the Panthers,
yep,
play it now because that number will go up because Philly will have higher motivation to win that game. Not that they don't have motivation, but they won't take their foot off the gas, which is what your biggest concern is when you're below two touchdowns.
Yeah, and a tough game for Detroit next week when Buffalo comes in town. So that schedule is going to get dicey there. G-Bank Visa Signature Card is your best bet. It delivers 1% cashback rewards on all eligible gaming transactions, 2% cashback rewards
on all other purchases. So for more info, go over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions do apply. Michael, great stuff. I can't believe it. Week 14 tonight. Can't wait to talk about it tomorrow with you.
Thank you, Dave. Talk to you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Don't go anywhere. Get a numbers game. Gil Alexander and Kelly Vidlin next here on VSiN.